There was a scripture that came to me this morning as we were in praise, and the Lord was showing me some different things. And I'd like to kind of pick up on that thought. It was found in Isaiah 12. And it starts in verse 1. It says, "In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Afraid is my strength. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy," and this is the verse, "therefore, with joy, shall ye draw waters out of the wells of salvation. And in that day ye shall praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." And one of the key verse here, like I said, was verse 3. "Therefore with joy shall we draw water out of wells." Now that wells is plural, it's not singular. And it's not talking about a natural well or a natural spring. It's talking about you and I in the aspect of what it is God and how God is, what it is we are and what it and how it is God wants to use us. But wells receive their source of life or their source of water from another source. And so it is also with you and I. If we do not go to the source, then your well cannot be a vibrant, thriving well. Not only is it supposed to be vibrant and thriving, but in some sense, as I understand it in the Spirit, we are supposed to be like an artesian well. Not just a well that people would come to draw things out of, but an artesian well, by virtue of the force that is in the ground, that with the water it pushes the water up out of the ground, and it becomes like a bubbling spring. Not just a little bubbling, but it kind of shoots up. I've only seen one artesian well in my life. I really don't remember where that was, but it had a spout of about that big above the ground. It would be coming out just like a fountain. You would turn on a fountain and it would spray out. It would come out of the ground. And we are supposed to be that type of Christian, that type of an individual, a born again person who has that type of living water in us. I think, and I don't know that it's just pertinent to me, but I think that we as Christians live in a prophetic environment. Everything around us is proclaiming and prophesying to us of the plan and the purposes of God. Now that's what Romans chapter 1 says. It says that the creation around us gives evidence or gives proof to the living reality of God. Not only the living reality that he is or that he exists, but that it even goes to the extent of bringing an understanding or bringing a revelation of the Godhead, or what you would say, the mystery of who and what God is in the entirety of what and who he is. It says the creation out there gives evidence or brings that revelation of truth if we can see it by the Spirit. And I believe that we live in a prophetic environment. So that as we are moving around in this environment, we there is a word of God that is coming forth in the environment that testifies to God's desire for us to be those living wells of water. Praise the Lord. If you're not living well of water, then it's prophesying or calling you to be a living well of water. So but in order to be living wells of water, be living wells of water, say that fast, being living wells of water, we have to be energized. We have to be supplied. We have to be full of that water, so that what water we have isn't being depleted. Is that right? Depleted is not being depleted just on the basis of sustaining our own life. There's a difference, you know. You could have water when you become a Christian, when you begin born again, when you are filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you become a well. You become a well of living water. You don't look in the mirror and see a pool, unfortunately. We look in the mirror and see our reflection, and then we get caught up in that reflection. But we are supposed to be wells of living water. But in order to be wells of living water, we have to be replenished in the supply of water. Because water is something that you use every day, isn't that right? You don't reuse it. Huh? Do you reuse it? Huh? You take a bath? Well, in some situations you do. But not in normal situations. You take a drink of water. Let's use that as an example. You take a drink of water, do you regurgitate that water and utilize it again for purposes? What do you have to do? You have to go gack and get what? More water. What if you turn the tap on and there's no water? Huh? That means it hasn't been, the supply has been depleted. Now, if you lived in Ethiopia with us at any one time, you would understand the reality of that experience, because we have to live on a tank of water. You get so many gallons of water, it doesn't come out of a well. It comes out of a well, but they don't always turn the well on. So you get so many gallons of water, and you have to work with that water, because that's the only water you're going to get until they turn the well back on again. Praise the Lord. So you find yourself, the use of water becomes more restricted, and the farther the tank gets down, the more restricted you become. Praise the Lord. Why? Because you want to have that water for the bare necessities of what it is that is going to keep you alive, like drinking water. Praise the Lord. Now we have to filter our water in order to drink it. It has to be filtered in a certain way through a certain process in order for it to be saved. Praise the Lord. And that water is dependent upon that supply that is coming in. Praise the Lord. Well, it is like that. It is also like that in the Lord. Now, when we want more water, we have to go look for it. We have to go look for it. If we run out of water, we have to go look for it. That meant we had to load the containers up in a vehicle, drive to somebody who has a well, who has electricity, and who is willing to sell us the water to buy. We fill up those 25-liter cans of water and bring them back to the deal and dump them in the deal. But what is required of us is that we have to go find the water, and you have to find good water. So some people you can find water, but it's not good water. So you have to go to a reliable source. Well, you know, all of those things to me speaks of the prophetic realm in which we live. Now, maybe I'm more aware of the prophetic realm, I don't know, because of the means in which God chooses to use me and the realm in which I work in, as far as He is concerned. But it nevertheless is something that is very real, something that is always pertinent to you as a Christian, your environment. So one of the first things that I think is necessary for us is to recognize the prophetic environment in which we are in. Hallelujah. Now, not every little thing, I'm not saying every little thing of that environment, well, it could be, I guess, I don't know, but not every little thing is necessarily has a spiritual intent. But the overall aspect of it and certain aspects of what is happening in that environment are spiritually orientated to bring some sort of message to you and I concerning our position of relationship, the intent and the desire of God, and what it is that He wants to do. Now, and if you don't think that is scripture, I suggest you turn to Romans chapter 8, and somewhere down toward the three quarters of the way through the chapter, you read the thing about all creation. Huh? All creation. That means the trees, the rocks, even the dirt out there that you walk on that nobody really notices. Huh? Do you notice the dirt you walk on? Huh? Even the dirt that you walk on is what? Waiting. It's waiting for what? The manifestation of the sons of God. So, the dirt is more conscious of who is walking on it than the person who is walking on it, of the dirt. Come on, brethren. Hallelujah. You either have to take the Word of God in the sense of the reality of it, or you just have to throw it away. It's of no value to us. Jesus said, if it were necessary, what would happen? The rocks. So that rock you're kicking down the road. You ever kick a rock? Huh? That rock you're kicking, huh? Knows the reality of your calling in the election. It knows you. Huh? And in some way or another, maybe it's happy that one of the sons is kicking it. I don't know. Hallelujah. But everything about our environment has a prophetic nature. It has a spiritual reality behind it. In fact, we are told all of this is nothing more than a shadow, an illustration of what is in the Spirit. It's so exciting when we begin to wake up to the reality of our spiritual environment. Now, the responsibility of the devil, the position of the devil is to divert you, to get you off from the sensing of that reality. Wants you to say, oh, this is just a normal set of situation. This is life. This is just something that happens. These are things that are bothering me, whether you like them or not. Wants to get you diverted. Now, if he can divert you, then he can subvert you. You know what subversion means? Somebody can explain subversion for me. I might do a bearable job of it. But what I believe to divert. All right, let me first go to divert. I want to go from here. I want to go to here to Aunt Christie's house. That is my goal. And there's a certain way I can go. You know, I have my little GPS and I put it in there and I plug that in. And you got that little line with that little arrow that's supposed to be me. You know, and I'm driving along and it's moving along right there. And all of a sudden I see a sign saying something about something, something, something. So I put on my brakes and I turn off right there. Huh? I just turn off. I have been diverted from my goal. I have been diverted. I get caught up in the moment. Maybe I see something. Oh, wow, look at that. Isn't that beautiful? And I lose the sense of I lose the sense of priority in that I was going for a particular place for a particular purpose. I was supposed to be there at a particular time. And that's another issue for me, is the issue of time and the fact of what it is, the time And what is allotted for me to do or to be or to get some place that I need to be. Hallelujah. And it is a real problem for me in my soul, you understand, keeping the appointment. I don't know if you have that problem. You know, a dinner is to be at a particular time. Maybe that's not a good example, I don't know. But dinner is to be at a particular time. And we kind of meander around. Mom is busy fixing, or somebody is busy fixing it up and getting it ready and putting it on the table. Now, at that point, it's at its point of perfection. Everything is fixed in a certain way. It has a certain temperature. It has a certain quality and a certain test, and it has a certain aroma. And we saunter in to the table 15 minutes later or 20 minutes later. And to us, we think it's of no consequences, but what we have missed is the blessing of what it was when it was first put there on the table. Praise the Lord. And there's other things involved in that. I don't know that I want to really go into all of that, but I'm not cognizant of my position of responsibility. I'm not cognizant of the thought that mom or dad or whoever it is has gone to in order to prepare and to do it. I'm not cognizant that I was scheduled to be at a particular place at a particular time, and I missed it. I missed it. Hallelujah. Now, I may not know I missed it, but I missed it. And it's like that in the things of the Spirit. There is a timetable that God is working with regards to you and I. God puts us into a certain environment for a certain purpose. And that purpose is to bring us to a spiritual consciousness of our surroundings and a spiritual consciousness of God's desire for us and what it is He wants to do concerning us in that environment. Whether He wants the environment to minister to you an overcoming concept, a principle, or what He wants you to be a blessing in the midst of that environment to bring the strength that is needed for overcoming for those that are there in that place. If nothing more, then for the sake of the creation that is around you, that it can rejoice that it sees something of the manifestation of God. And I'll take it one step further. You and I are responsible for the position of those who have gone on before us. Did you hear me? Those who have gone on before, we are responsible for their perfection. And if you don't think that God does not hold us accountable for the lack of that instructions, you are mistaken. Because these individuals have paid a price to be where they are. And they are not completed, not by virtue of their own will or their own desire. They have not reached that point of perfection on the basis of the time scheduling of God. So God has made for them
a provision.
God has made for them a provision that they might have perfection. Hello? And that perfection is you. That provision is you. In your environment, in the home, with each other, outside of the home. And you know, the home is somewhere where we build habitual aspects of living. We respond in a certain way on the basis of familiarity and not on the basis of spirituality. Hallelujah. And a lot of us take our home environment for granted because it's there every day. Same thing. Day in, day out, day on, day on. The only thing that happens is you get older. unless, of course, you're utilizing your home environment for the sake of overcoming and moving into the principles of God and finding the source of that living water that you in turn might become an extension of that spring. That's what we're supposed to be, by the way. We're supposed to be extensions of that spring. Praise the Lord. And it requires individual consecration. Not collective consecration. That comes down the road. It requires individual consecration. That means that you and I have to spend time in the Word. That means we have to spend time listening to the Word of God in the aspect of how it is and what it is that God has given us as far as the revelation of God is concerned. We have to spend time listening to it. And when we're listening, it's not just a matter of listening. It's a matter of water running into the well. You know, I see it so clearly in the Spirit. I see like this big well, and I see the water level down here, you know, way down here. You have to let the bucket down. But I see little rivulets of water running into that well to build the level up so that when it comes, you just have to dip in, like your cup, you're thirsty, you dip it in, and you take a drink. Huh? Praise the Lord. And you know, one time, many years ago, I remember with my dad, we were up in the hills somewhere, and we were hunting at the time. He was hunting, I was walking behind him. And we came upon a little spring that somebody had taken stones, and they had put the stones around, and they had made it like a little well out of rock. And the water was running in from the ground, running in, and it was running in and running over the top of it. It was just a little high, running over the top in the little stream, and there was a cup hanging on the end. There was a little sign, weather beaten, says, "For all who pass by, that they might refresh their thirst," or something like that. So we took the cup and put it in there. And I don't think I have ever drank water as sweet as that water. It was so good. It of course could have been my little mind working, I don't know. But it was so good that it made a everlasting impression upon my mind. Hallelujah. So it is necessary for us as individuals, as Christians, to replenish, to allow God to replenish. If we're involved in worldly things, those worldly things, we are drawing strength from our well. We are depleting the water supply on an hour, minute by minute, day by day application. We are depleting that water. And we have to go down further, and we have to go down further, and we have to go down further. And one time maybe we even get down and we're scraping the bottom of that well. Why? Because we haven't come to the source. We haven't opened ourselves up to the source of the living water. We've been diverted. We've been distracted in some manner or some way. Do you know that when you get angry? You get angry and you work to overcome it. You know what I mean? You're working in your mind. You are using water. When you're depressed, you're down in the dumps. Huh? And you're working against it and you're working to get out of it. And then one day you kind of break through. You have just used up water. You used up a portion of water. Or you get angry. And you're working not to be angry, or somebody's working with you not to be angry, and you come to a place and you break through, right? You know what I mean. You say you're sorry and all that, blah, 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 and you find yourself there. You have just depleted your well. You just use spiritual reality, or you're just trying to get by through the day. You're just going from one day to the next. You are using water. You are depleting the source. Now, you may be reading your little Bible. You may be reading your Bible a little bit. You may have a little bit of prayer. And you get a trickle, trickle, trickle. But you're going, boom, 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 boom. That's
Come, 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 come.
Trickle, trickle, trickle.
Come, 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 come.
What's happening? Huh? What is happening? You're not only depleting your source of water, your life energy is now becoming more and more, less and less. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there's a require. If you want to be wells of living water, I was looking for that particular verse. The wells, that's plural. It's not a singular term. It's plural. He says wells of living water. You know, and the situation with Grandma in the market the other day, when she said a strange thing happened to me, and as she was telling me, I said that really shouldn't be so strange. I'm thinking in my mind that should not be so strange to us. That should be a daily occurrence. That means, and Grandma, she listens to a lot of words. She's into the Bible. She's praying a lot, and all of these things. So there is an abundance of water there. You know, if you walk into a place and people don't, and there isn't a stirring in the environment, that means your water level is low. Huh? Your water level is low. You may just have enough to sustain yourself. That's all you have. So we have to spend time. We have, you know, sometimes the Lord will come to me. He'll come to me in the early morning hours. I'll wake up, and all I will do is just lay there in my bed sometimes and just meditate. Meditate on the Word of God. Meditate on a thought. There'll be a song or something that the Lord will bring. And I'll just begin to meditate, and I'm saying, what do you mean by this, Lord? And this part of it, how does it apply to me? And that's another thing the Lord has been doing with me in my Bible study, is that I'm asking, how does that apply to me? Many of what we read in the Bible becomes historical. It's a historical story. Well, Jesus is talking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. It's historical, right? There's no Sadducees. There's no Pharisees. At least, they're not in our environment, is there? Huh? But what about the attitude of the Sadducees? It was scribes and Pharisees. What about the attitude of the scribes? What was their attitude toward Jesus? What about the mindset of the Pharisees? Huh? So there is a Pharisaical nature. There is a Pharisaical spirit that I have to deal with. Huh? There's a Pharisaical spirit that I have to deal with. So I have to ask the Lord, how does that apply to me? What is my Pharisaical attitude? And a scribe was someone who was very diligent in translating the word, I guess. I don't know exactly what all their responsibilities were, but they were very much into the word in some way or another. How is it applicable to me? You know, this is supposed to be a living word. Living word means, as it was yesterday, so it is today, and it will be tomorrow until Jesus comes, and the fullness of it will still yet be in a position of manifestation. Praise the Lord. Now, if I want to be a well of living water, then I have to spend the time at the source of it. I have to open myself, and my mind cannot be diverted. You know, the devil comes. He's such a pro at diversion. He's such a pro. All he has to do is step on my toe. That's all he has. All he has to do is step on my toe, and immediately I am. You know, depending on the circumstance of the situation. And that's a good illustration. If you stub your toe, what is your first thought? Ow! I don't know what your first thought is, but my first thought is, ow! Ooh! Ouch! That hurts! Praise the Lord! It's not, oh, praise God! I just stubbed my toe! Hallelujah. One time I was with Brother Duseel, and and he did something, I don't know, it was very painful, and the first word that came out of his mouth, I rebuke you, Satan, by the blood of Jesus Christ, I shall not feel the pain of it. He didn't ask God to heal it, he just said, I will not feel the pain of it. You know, God had to heal it in order for him not to feel the pain. Huh? Our minds are so easily diverted, aren't we? We are so easily distracted. You have an eternal purpose. You were created for an eternal reason. Not that you were born into a particular family and you were to live in a particular place and you were to do this and you were to do that. You have an eternal purpose. Everything about your environment is set to bring that eternal purpose to a position or a place of fullness when Jesus Christ comes. But if in order for me to be in that place, I have to be ready. I have to be ready. Hallelujah. And you know, sometimes it's just how we look. We look in the mirror and say, ooh, my hair, ooh, my clothes, ooh, this, that. We begin to think about what we can do to make ourselves look better. Hallelujah. You know, we have to appreciate, number one, we have to appreciate what it is that God has done. No matter what the vessel may look like, or what kind of shape it is in, what is it that God has done with regards to that vessel? Me in particular. Hello? I may not like this about my appearance, I may not like that about my appearance, but you know, I had no control over any of that. The Bible says, I was fearfully and wonderfully made. The society of cosmetics, the society of fashion, the society of I don't know, the demeanor and behavior of way a person looks is a multi-billion-dollar operation to change you from what God, how God made you in the fearfully and wonderfully made, to conform you to a different image, a different thought, a different aspect, a different position on it, and it relates to yours and my destiny. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. So he works on the outside for us to make us dissatisfied with who and what we are, and he begins to give us alternative suggestions of who and what we can be. Hello? Hallelujah. And it's contrary to the desire or the word of God. I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Isn't there a song that talks of David was saying that that God knew him. Where?
Yes.
While he was yet, where? Where was he?
In the womb.
In the womb. Can you imagine that? God saw the entirety of your being. He saw the entirety of your life from the moment of your conception. Do you understand? There was something in mind of God when you were conceived, and in that conceived, there was a plan, there was a purpose, there was a destiny, and you were fearfully and wonderfully made for that reason.
That's Psalms 139.
Hallelujah. So we have to understand the mechanics of the environment we live in. We have to understand the mechanics of the outside environment as well as the internal environment. And we are designed to be wells of living water. We are designed that way. And I want to tell you, the more of God you get, the greater the abundance of water that will be in you. And you will need some of that abundance to provide for yourself. But there should be something of a surplus. If you're just living on on what you got in order to be what you are, you are not spending the time you need at the source.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And it says here, in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doing among the people. Did you hear it? This is after you shall be went out of the wells of salvation. It is a free flowing of information. It is a free flowing of ministry. It is a free flowing of the intent and the purpose of God. And you become a visual, verbal point of propagation. You understand? I'm saying you become it. You become it. It's not dependent on, well, that's not like I am. That's not who I am. It is how you are and what it is that God has put in you and the thought that He has for you at the end of that time frame, which is to be wells of ministry. That's what you're designed for. And that is what you are being called to do. So I want to encourage you. I want you to encourage you to take advantage of the time frame that you have. Take advantage of the opportunity that God is giving you in your environment, and wake up to the spiritual reality of that environment, and wake up to the prophetic nature of that environment. Open your ears, open your heart to the Word of God, so that when you walk down the road, you can hear the tree saying, there goes one of them. Come on. You can hear the tree says, there's a son. There's a son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because, you know, I had a vision one time. We were somewhere, it was in somewhere, I don't remember where, but we were in a very difficult situation, and I was in a meeting, and all of a sudden I went into the Spirit, and I was lifted up, and there was a joy that began to come into my being, and I was seeing this scene. It was a meadow scene. There was a city off at the in the distance that I couldn't see, but there was this long line of trees. And I noticed, and I could hear this melody. I could hear this melody. There was nobody around except the nature of the circumstance. But I could hear this nature. I could hear this song. And as I was watching, this wind began to blow through the trees, and the trees began to sway and begin to dance. The trees, they didn't move out of their place, but they were dancing. And they were waving, and I begin to hear the words, He is coming. He is coming. He is coming. And it was cascading. Have you ever watched a fairly large stream of water, and it's coming down out of a mountain, and it not dropping like this, but it's coming down incrementally, and it's cascading, is that right, the word?
Cascading.
Yeah, over these stones, and you hear the music. Do you hear music when you hear that? Do you just hear this rushing water? Do you hear music? I hear music. And it's different music. It's different music. I mean, it's not all the same tone. It's like it's harmonizing, coming down. Well, that's the way this wind was. It was coming through the trees, and it was come down over to the edge of the trees, and it would come down, and it began to blow across the prairie toward me. And it was moving the grass and the flowers and all of this, and it became more and more of a crescendo.
Crescendo.
No,
crescendo.
Crescendo. All right, crescendo. It became more and more. See, you're not the only one that has trouble with the English language. It became more and more of a crescendo. And it was, He is coming. He is coming. He is coming. And I begin to feel the breeze of it. Just that, yeah, you ever stand and see the wind coming across? And you get the front of it, it just kind of lightly ruffles you, and then it gets a little stronger. And that's the way it was. And there was such a joy, such a joy and jubilation that began to rise up in my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are supposed to be wells. Not just wells that somebody comes to dip out, but wells that run up. Wells that run over. Wells that people say that are excited, their thirst is excited by the fact of the sound of that water or the sight of that water, and they come and they begin to drink of what it is that you have to share with them. Wells. Your wells of living water. Amen. God bless you.
Can I read a couple of scriptures that you had referred to what David said in Psalm 139:13? I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy work, and that my soul knoweth right well.
Yes, amen.
And then Proverbs.
That should be our prayer, that our soul might right well know.
My soul knoweth right well. And then Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. But the violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Then John 4 says, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Jesus is talking about the natural. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up.
Springing up.
Everlasting
water. Amen. All promises.
I was thinking of the song that we sing, He has come, shout for joy, for he has come.
Yes.
And in Isaiah 55:12, it says, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you
singing.
And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands.
You know, I believe in the reality of when it, as Jesus comes, that we will see these things transformed. The next time you see a wind blowing through a tree, just look real hard. You might see it dancing.
Like Lita.
Father, I just would bring this woman before you. You see the things that we discussed, and she sees that she has been through two different bouts of cancer, but that you touched her. And she wants to know what is her purpose, that she is now 80. And Father, I just ask that you bless this woman. You know, I was wanting to figure a way to invite her. And she said she didn't have email, she lives in another town, different things. But Lord, I just would pray that she could come to this, take the knowledge of you as such a reality, that it would just enable her to know your presence in such a greater way. That she could come to you and understand this word. Father, just bless her. And Father, you see today, this afternoon, having fellowship with Uncle Mark and Aunt Christie. Father, I just ask that we could be a blessing.